By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Maundy Thursday, a day Maundy means mandate or command, we have Jesus' Last Supper. He gathers with his disciples knowing that this will be his final opportunity to spend time with those that he loves, his friends, his disciples, the followers who have been with him for 3 years of his earthly ministry. And time again, after every healing, every miracle, every opportunity to share God's word with the people, it was Jesus' pattern to take the disciples aside and in some case explain what he was doing and why. And perhaps helping them a little bit at a time understand the bigger picture of what God was up to. But on the Thursday of the week of Passover, Jesus knew this was it. And he thought to himself, I'm just imagining, how do I boil down all of what I've tried to teach this group of disciples, and not only them, but for the church that will come after them? It comes down to the simplest things. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the command from Jesus. Love one another. And he gives them this amazing object lesson. What kind of love does Jesus call his disciples and us to follow? The kind of love that at a dinner party, the host washes the feet of the guests. That the host, Jesus the host, does the most humble act of service and kindness for the disciples, saying that you must love others as I have loved you, being self-given, humble, generous, that nothing is ever beneath us in an act of service and kindness and love toward a neighbor, toward a person in need. This is the mandate, the command from Jesus, and that by our love, the world would know there's a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus who's loving just like Jesus taught them to love. That wasn't the only mandate or command that Jesus gave to his disciples on his Last Supper. He also commanded them to remember him in bread and wine. It's not in our gospel text from John, but the other gospel texts which depict Jesus' Last Supper, they gather, and our text from 1 Corinthians quotes Jesus' words, where he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for them to eat, saying, "This is my body. It is given for you." The last few weeks, Miss Amanda and I have had a chance to work with our young people, and we have one who is not here tonight, so we had 6 children who went through their preparation to receive First Communion tonight. So, kids, what's the first thing you learned? Just go ahead and say it. Communion is a meal. Right. So sometimes when we think about communion, we think it's some sort of spiritual, mystical thing, which it is. But it's also a meal, like we have with our family. When we gather around the table and we share food and drink, we share conversation, we look at each other, and we engage. It's a coming together, a communion of people. And we should think about it that way for ourselves as well, that it's an ordinary meal, and it's also quite extraordinary, because God is the host. It is Jesus who invites us to this table and says, I've prepared this for you, for each of you, and everyone is invited. No one gets excluded from God's table. Communion is a meal. Now, because this is Maundy Thursday, or Command Thursday, point number two, kids, why do we have communion? Landon. Jesus said so. He said so. Jesus says, when you come together, do this to remember me. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, if you think about it, if you are spiritually hungry, when it occurs to you, if you want, he says, do it. And as we talked about in our class, if Jesus tells us to do something, we should do it. And Jesus is telling us to come to the table, to remember me, to be grounded and regrounded in the promise of the table, in the promise of God's amazing love and grace. Because chances are, we need God's reminder of love and grace way before we think we do. We need to be spiritually immunized from the things that attack us in this world. And coming to the Lord's table, Jesus knew they need to be told. They need to be told. They don't need to be asked. They need to be commanded. So just as God commands us, Jesus commands us to love each other, Jesus commands us to remember him in this particular way. Okay, this is the one that the kids had trouble with, but I know they got it now. The third reason, what is it for? Yes, Sarah. For the forgiveness of sins. Yes, Jesus tells us to come to the table and we receive in communion the forgiveness of our sins. Martin Luther called it the means of grace. By this ordinary bread and this ordinary cup, we receive the tangible forgiveness of our sins. And I don't know about you, that sounds like something I would need a lot. A lifetime of coming to the table with all of my brothers and sisters. Each of us needing a regular reminder that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that there is nothing you could ever do to make God not love you. God will always love you. And so we come to the table to receive forgiveness of sins. Okay, there was one more. Point four. Landon, are you got already got your gold star? Thomas, lay it on me. Okay, so the bread is the body and the wine is the blood. So when we talked about this in our class, that the idea that Christ bodily is present in our holy meal. Now, when we eat the bread, it tastes like bread. I asked the kids, does it taste like an arm? They said, we've never had an arm. Good, don't do it. We believe that Christ is fully present in the bread and the wine, but in a way that is powerful and mysterious. Jesus said he was going to be there, but it still tastes like bread and wine. But we trust in that promise, and we trust that Christ is with us when we come to the table. All right, gold star for all of them. Let's give these kids a round of applause. You passed the test. Beautiful. One of the best groups I've ever had. But I was thinking about not just the promise and power of communion, this regular reminder, and it's so important to us, not just in Holy Week, but in all the weeks that we gather. But I was thinking about Jesus as he was commanding the disciples to love like he has loved them, to remember him at the table, to regularly come together to commune, is that he had already been betrayed. We begin those words of institution. If you've been a longtime church comer and you're here on Monday, Thursday, so that fits the bill for most of you. But it always starts, in the night in which he was betrayed. And I have to admit, I have said those words so many times in my ministry that sometimes they just kind of come out of my mouth and they wash right over me. But I want you to think about this. Judas gets his feet washed. Judas is there for the Last Supper. Which, by the way, within the 24-hour period, Peter denies knowing Jesus three times, and all of the other disciples are scattered. They run for the hills, fearing for their life, uncertain, filled with doubt. Jesus doesn't say to us, if you are worthy, you can come to the table. If your life is meritorious enough, I'll love you. God's grace is given to betrayers, to deniers, to sinners like you and me. There is no litmus test. There's no bar you have to clear. There's no test you have to pass. With Jesus, everyone is invited. Everyone is excluded. Because God's response to betrayal and denial is love. Love freely given to those who could never give it back. As we go through these holy days, I want you to think about that. God's love is given for you. For you. For exactly who you are. For all you've ever done. All the things that keep you up at night. The things that you didn't do that you should have. Times you should have used your voice to speak out. Times you used your voice and said too much. It's for you. So as you receive this bread that these beautiful kids have made for you, hear those words. The body of Christ is given for you. Given for you in an act of love and grace and mercy. For that we give God thanks. Amen.